This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Chris Derrick on the program with us this week. Chris is an attorney based in Asheville, North Carolina, who specializes in the areas of promotion and marketing law, corporate law, and business transactions. He formerly served for 2 years as special counsel to Commissioner James Dobson on the 1999 National Gambling Impact Study Commission, which was a government commission charged with studying the social and economic effects of legalized gambling on our nation. Chris also provides legal and legislative assistance to the North Carolina Family Policy Council on a variety of issues, and we greatly appreciate all the wonderful work that Chris does. Chris is the author of an exclusive article featured in the spring 2014 issue of Family North Carolina Magazine. Now, that article is entitled Going Off the Reservation: Why the Catawba Indians Have No Legal Authority to Open a Casino in North Carolina. We will be talking with Chris today about that article, which provides an in-depth legal analysis of the Catawba Indian Nation's attempts to establish a casino in North Carolina. And Chris explains in the article why this South Carolina-based Indian tribe lacks the right and authority to do just that. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
John, thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Well, it's great to have you with us, Chris. And again, we appreciate so much all the great work and insights that you provide to the Family Policy Council and by virtue of that, to our supporters and our listeners out there. Now, Chris, last summer, many North Carolinians were shocked to learn that the Catawba Indian Nation, which is an Indian tribe based in South Carolina, was seeking to open a Las Vegas-style gambling casino here in North Carolina. Tell us about the Catawba Indians, their history, and their efforts to open a casino in our state.
Well, thanks, John. And for folks that may not know, the Catawba Indians are a Native American tribe, and as you say, they're based in South Carolina, actually in York County, South Carolina, near Rock Hill. And the tribe has about 2,800 members, the overwhelming majority of which reside in the state of South Carolina. The tribe doesn't have any land in North Carolina, and because it doesn't really have a connection to North Carolina, it's not even formally recognized by the state of North Carolina under North Carolina law. So a lot of folks in North Carolina were really shocked, as you say, to learn last summer when the word got out that this South Carolina tribe was planning to build a casino across the state line in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, right off of I-85. And the other shocking thing to learn was the magnitude of this proposed casino. It is planned to occupy a 16-acre site and be a $340 million, 220,000-square-foot gambling facility with a 1,500-room hotel attached. So you kind of have to think of it. I haven't checked the figures up at Cherokee lately, but it's essentially as if we plop down the Harris Cherokee Casino right there about 30 miles outside of Charlotte, essentially almost a suburb of our largest city. So it's a significant proposal, which is just potentially disastrous for the state of North Carolina.
Well, and I think you point out one of the reasons for that is that unlike the Harris Cherokee Casino, which is in the farthest reaches of western North Carolina in a very rural and mountainous area that you've really got to be intending to go there to get there, this proposed casino by the Catawba Indian Nation would sit on a major interstate highway about 30 miles west of North Carolina's largest city, right on the border with another state in a highly populated and highly trafficked area, which for anyone who has studied the social and economic impacts of gambling casinos or these regional casinos is just a recipe for disaster. Now, Chris, in the article, you spend a good deal of time analyzing a 1993 settlement agreement between the Catawba Indian Tribe, the U.S. Congress, and the state of South Carolina. Tell us briefly about the components that make up the settlement agreement and why it is so important to understand this in light of these efforts.
Well, I'll start back, a way back, actually. If you look at the history of the Catawba tribe, you see that going all the way back to pre-Revolutionary War times, the tribe has been wrestling over land rights with South Carolina. And in fact, the tribe didn't actually settle its land claims with South Carolina or with the U.S. government until 1993, when a comprehensive Catawba settlement plan was enacted into U.S. and South Carolina law. And that's the settlement agreement that you just referenced. And it actually consists of three parts. It's the settlement agreement itself between the state of South Carolina and the tribe, and then a federal law and a South Carolina law that codify and govern the terms of the settlement agreement. But through this settlement, the Catawba settled and extinguished all past and future claims to land and natural resources located anywhere in the U.S., and they did this in exchange for certain settlement funds and the transfer of the tribe's 630-acre tribal reservation from the state of South Carolina to the U.S. Secretary of Interior. The settlement also settled all the legal rights of the tribe, as well as their rights and limitations with respect to expanding the tribal reservation and acquiring non-reservation property. So as it turns out, this settlement is very, very important because it really is the key to unlocking the answer to whether the Catawba have the legal ability to go off their reservation and build a massive casino like the one they proposed at Kings Mountain. And it's, you know, one that's not only off their reservation, but off their reservation in an entirely separate state from where they reside.
Well, Chris, there are a couple of key sections in the settlement agreement that have to do with the rights and privileges of the tribe to purchase land, and you've mentioned that already, and also to conduct gambling activities. Tell us about these and kind of specifically what they say are the rights and privileges of the tribe to purchase land and to engage in gambling activities and why those provisions are relevant to the Catawba's efforts in North Carolina.
Well, you're right. In addition to settling all the rights of the tribe with respect to land, the settlement also sets out all the rights of the tribe with respect to gambling and operating games of chance. And each of the three settlement agreements, I mentioned the federal law, the state law, as well as the settlement agreement itself, provide that the laws and regulations of the state of South Carolina govern, and I'm quoting now, govern the regulation and conduct of gambling or wagering by the tribe on and off the reservation. The settlement documents also provide that the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act does not apply to the tribe, and the IGRA, as it's known, the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, is the federal law that provides a statutory basis for the operation of casino gambling by Indian tribes on tribal lands throughout the United States, and it's the statutory means that was used by the Cherokees to secure their casino up in the western part of the state. But interesting enough, the way the settlement documents were structured and in the terms of the arrangement, instead of the tribal gambling for the Catawba being governed by IGRA, the Catawba agreed that its gambling activities would be governed solely by the terms of the settlement agreement and South Carolina law, and not this federal law, IGRA. Interestingly enough, if you look back at the legislative history relating to the Catawba settlement agreement, you learn that the South Carolina legislature clearly wanted to shut down any means for the Catawba to ever operate a Las Vegas-style casino in South Carolina, which again is why they made IGRA inapplicable to the tribe and said that the settlement agreement in South Carolina controlled the tribe's gambling activities.
Well, and talk a little bit about, if you would, Chris, the Catawba tribe's efforts to obtain gambling rights and privileges in the state of South Carolina. And as we know, those efforts have hit a dead end, and it's probably the primary reason why they decided to look across the border for potential opportunities. But tell us about their efforts in the Palmetto State and why they have failed.
Well, as I just mentioned, that the South Carolina legislature appears, if you look back at the legislative history on the settlement document, seems to have really focused on keeping them from operating a Las Vegas-style casino, and they have succeeded because the tribe, the Catawba tribe, has made many attempts in South Carolina to operate a casino there, and they failed at each juncture. The Catawba's latest such attempt failed just this last April, and you alluded to that. And what happened there is the Supreme Court of South Carolina issued an opinion holding that the South Carolina Gambling Cruise Act does not provide a loophole through which the tribe could offer video gambling on its reservation in contravention of an existing statewide ban on video gambling devices. And so that the court specifically said in that case that the Catawba had waived its rights to be governed under federal law, under IGRA, and that it instead agreed to be governed solely by the terms of the settlement agreement as it pertains to games of chance. So what that meant is that the Catawba were subject to the South Carolina laws banning video gambling and other forms of gambling in South Carolina just the way any ordinary citizen would be prevented from operating or engaging in those gambling activities. So what's been made clear over the years since the settlement agreement went into place is that under South Carolina law, the bottom line is that the Catawba tribe cannot operate a Las Vegas-style casino.
Well, Chris, it's my understanding that the Gambling Cruise Act that the tribe was seeking to use as a mechanism to gain legal rights to gambling was really a situation where in South Carolina there is legislation that says that local governments have the ability to regulate the operation of these gambling cruise boats or cruises to nowhere, as they're called, where a gambling boat motors offshore 3 miles out into international waters and conducts gambling activities and then returns to the state without making a, quote, intervening stop in another state or jurisdiction. And so essentially that makes it fall under international laws. And the tribe was saying because that type of activity is legal that they should have the right to conduct video gambling within the state. And as you mentioned, the South Carolina Supreme Court said no, South Carolina law is still very clear that that form of gambling is illegal. Therefore, the tribe may not conduct that type of activity within the jurisdictional area of the state. Is that your interpretation of that?
That's exactly right. And because it said that certain individuals or companies in South Carolina could go out and operate these cruises, that somehow that opened the door fully under federal law or under the law in general for the tribe, which is unique and different in some respects than an ordinary citizen. The tribe was arguing that that opened the door for them because it allowed some form of gambling out there way off the coast, that created a loophole that they could operate under within the state to run a Las Vegas-style casino. And the South Carolina Supreme Court said no to that, as you've said. And they did it on the basis of the terms of the settlement agreement with the Catawba tribe would not allow that. In other words, because the federal law, IGRA, doesn't apply to the tribe, that loophole simply doesn't exist. So the tribe, in with respect to gambling activities, is just is in the same position as any other ordinary citizen in South Carolina, who cannot operate a Las Vegas-style casino in the state.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this week, Chris. For our listeners who want to learn more about this issue, the copy of Chris's article, Off the Reservation, can be found in the spring 2014 issue of Family North Carolina Magazine, as well as on the North Carolina Family Policy Council's website at ncfamily.org. Chris Derrick, thank you so much for your hard work on this important article, for sharing your great insights with us, and for your work over the years with the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you, John. It's been my honor. I appreciate it.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.